हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभं व्यास देवाय तस्मै नमः। ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। दैवासुर संपद विभाग योगो नाम षोडशोऽध्यायः। We have seen up to the 18th verse, and Bhagavan, having talked about the people of Devi Sampat, people who are possessed with divine wealth, and talking about the divine wealth in terms of virtues of righteous people, and he also discussed about the people of demonic nature. And Bhagavan says in this 19th verse, Tan Kruran Dushataha Nara Adhaman Samsareshu Asureshu Yeva Samsareshu Yonishu Aham Kshipami Tanaham Dushatah Kruran Samsareshu Naradhaman Kshipam Yajasrama Shubhan Asureshweva Yonishu. So Bhagavan said, the people who are of this demonic nature and people who do not have purushartha nischaya, who do not know the value of jnanam. Therefore, if people are not committed to the pursuit of jnanam, there is no way of understanding the relevance of dharma, importance of dharma. And such people having artha kamas as their ultimate goals, when they live their lives driven, chased by their own desires and doing any karma, means going against dharma, and as people naturally, they become the cruel people. And such people of Bhagavan says, and because of such actions, what happens to them? Bhagavan says, I throw those people. And such people who are non-righteous people, cruel people who go against dharma, who are committed to Bhagavan, are looked upon as haters of Bhagavan. Dvishataha jana. Dvishantaha janaha. And Bhagavan says, Dvishataha tan. So, such those people who are haters of Bhagavan, who are very cruel, cunning, not pious, who are of the lowliest among the human beings, such people, Bhagavan says, I throw them into the wombs of people of asuric nature, and thereby they continue to remain in samsara. This is the meaning which we saw already in the last class. Asurim yonima pannaha. When Bhagavan says, Bhagavan himself ordains for their births in the with the births having parentage of such caliber, that they'll be again born in the families of us people of asuric nature. Then what happens for them? It is said in the next verse. Asurim yonima pannaha mudha janmani janmani. Asurim yonima pannaha mudha janmani janmani. Mama praphyeva kaunteya tato yantyadhamam gatim. Mama praphyeva kaunteya tato yantyadhamam gatim. Asurim yonima pannaha mudha janmani janmani. Mama praphyeva kaunteya tato yantyadhamam gatim. Asurim yonima pannaha mudha janmani janmani. மாமப்ராப்யைவ கௌந்தேய ததோ யாந்த்யதமாம் கதிம். So he says, Asurim yonim apannaha mudhaha. Asurim yonim apannaha mudhaha means what? Those deluded people and people of demonic nature, having entered into the womb of people of asuric nature. Asurim yonim apannaha. Having, as the ones who have entered into the people of asuric, entered into the wombs of people of asuric nature. Janmani janmani means what? Birth after birth. Okay, in every birth. Janmani janmani, birth after birth. Maam apraapya eva. Maam apraapya eva, not attaining me at all. Okay. Maam apraapya eva, not attaining Bhagavan at all. Thereby what happens? Adhamam gatim yanti. Adhamam gatim and yanti means what? They still, they go to much, much still lower state. They go to much, much still lower condition. And such people, definitely they never reach Bhagavan at all. Maam apraapya eva. See, only if a person reaches Bhagavan, attains Bhagavan in terms of jnanam, then there's no need for one to come back. But here, maam apraapya, such people, they will never become qualified for attaining Bhagavan. As a result of not attaining Bhagavan at all, then they, in every birth, those indiscriminate, deluded people, not being qualified for reaching Bhagavan, not reaching Bhagavan at all, definitely, adhamam gatim tataha yanti, they go to much, much still lower state, lower condition. Means, they fall into a pit of lowest state. Means they fall into the lower condition. They attain only lower state. Much lower state. See, Bhagavan, even Bhagavan is helpless. Bhagavan is not a human being. Bhagavan is not something like this. Not like us. Okay, Bhagavan happens to be the very reality of the good people and pious people. Bhagavan being the very truth of those people also. Bhagavan is the only truth of even such people, people of asuric nature also. Who is the truth of asuric people? People of asuric nature do not exist outside of Bhagavan. Okay, please understand. People of demonic nature do not exist outside of Bhagavan. The truth, the reality which lends existence for such people also is Bhagavan only. The evil also exists only in the reality. It needs a place of existence, isn't it? It is the same reality which lends existence for those people also. Therefore, so Bhagavan himself is being the very truth of them. Bhagavan also is incapable of. Bhagavan also cannot do anything for them. Therefore, Bhagavan expresses in this, Krishna, expresses his concern, expresses his pity for those people. And those people are people who are highly materialistic in nature and people who are of demonic nature. See, the people, they already started living a life of adharma. Once they enter into the lowest condition, the lower condition, again there's no way of coming up. Again they enter into the vicious cycle. Thereby, and getting out of that vicious cycle, getting out of that lowest condition is very difficult. Why? Because people have to make use of their free will properly. One must make the best use of one's free will. A person does not make use of one's free will, and if he abuses his free will, naturally he cannot choose to do a right. Whenever a person chooses to do a right, wrong action, he becomes the abuser of his free will. If a person chooses to do the right action, he makes the best use of his free will. See, the person of right action is the one who makes the best use of his free will. The person of wrong action is the abuser of his free will. If a person abuses free will, then Bhagavan also cannot help. Bhagavan has blessed us with the free will, and Bhagavan cannot help us unless we make the best use of the free will. We choose to do the right action. We live our lives in conformity with dharma. There's no way of being protected by Bhagavan. Therefore, doing any action in against dharma, transgressing the universal value itself, is an improper action, wrong action, adharma karma, definitely will contribute for what? Accumulation of papa. Okay, papam only. How can Bhagavan help? If we abuse the will, if you do wrong actions and which are against the universal values, thereby which disturb the universal harmony, then that is a papa karma, wrong action. And since Bhagavan dhimma of order, him order also cannot help. Okay, this is the accumulation of papam by doing actions which are against dharma, universal values, is a really negative, will have negative impact. And not only that, every time a person performs any action, and that performance of that action does produce a mental impression, it's called vasana. Every karma, knowingly, unknowingly, intentionally, unintentionally done karma, will produce a vasana. The vasana is nothing but some sort of inclinations in subtle form, okay, inexplicably subtle form. Okay, the inclination, the vasanas, okay, in one's own mind. Unless we have good vasanas in the mind, and those vasanas, you know, whatever vasanas we accumulate, whatever mental impressions, whatever vasanas we accumulate in our buddhi, the mind, they alone will come back. The more and more we do papa karma, wrong actions, the more we do go against dharma, the vasanas we accumulate in the subconscious also will be what? The inclinations also will be for wrong actions only. And the more inclinations, the vasanas we have in the mind, what happens is our subconscious, the mind also develops the same capability. The mind also has the same capacity to become addicted to those in keeping the vasanas. Mind also has that capability to become addicted to those actions in conformity with the vasanas. Thereby, it becomes a habit also on the part of the mind, becomes a habit on the part of the mind to be inclined to do only such activities. So whatever we happen to do for some time continuously, if we happen to do some action or the other continuously for some time, and that becomes our habit. A habit is nothing but what we continuously do for some time. And then habit means anything which becomes a habit becomes addiction. And it's difficult to break that habit, what we're addicted to. It becomes very difficult to break our habit, difficult to give up what we're addicted to. This is how the mind also, you know, becomes capable of developing any vasana. The mind is naturally of the nature. Mind is naturally of the nature of developing any vasanas. It can develop auspicious, no? It can develop good vasanas, good inclinations. It can develop bad inclinations also. Shubha vasanas, ashubha vasanas. It can develop any vasanas. In keeping with whatever we do using our will. That is why people like certain type of, you know, like coffee, tea. How it becomes a habit. Taking coffee becomes a habit. Taking tea becomes a habit. And habit means we get addicted to it. And without that, it becomes so difficult. People tell me all stories about how they get headache if they don't drink coffee. And then at least one coffee is very important. Anything we do becomes our habit. Okay. Of course, I'm not saying drinking coffee is wrong or anything. What I'm saying, anything we do regularly for length of time becomes a habit. And then we get addicted to what we do also. Then it's difficult later on to give it up. To break the habit becomes very difficult. Therefore, so mind has this capacity to develop inclinations for good actions or also bad actions. If we do wrong actions, there'll be inclination for doing wrong actions. If we do right actions, there'll be inclination for doing right actions. So it will be very important. Not only we're doing only once wrong action, once you do it the same, there'll be inclination for doing more of what you do. The better we do always right actions so that we develop shubha vasanas, okay, good vasanas. To do the right actions, to do good actions. And these people and who do only wrong actions, in the long run, what happens? All vasanas are all only bad vasanas. And again, they become more and more inclined to do only such wrong actions. As a result of which, they end up becoming people of asuric nature. So all these so-called people who are known as people of asuric nature, they have already come into this world developing the asuric nature, the inclinations, asuric inclinations, asuric vasanas. Because of the lifestyle what they led in the previous janmas. Again, with the same inclinations coming into this world, again impelled by their own vasanas, their own habits, living again life with the demonic nature, again accumulate same old bad vasanas, and such people, where is the question of coming out of it? They get really caught up in this cycle, okay, continuously. Therefore, they'll continuously be in this samsara only. There's no way of coming out of it. That is why it's very important for us to choose to do certain actions properly. And that should become our vasana. Okay, next verse. So what will happen to these people? These mudaha, these deluded people, janmani, 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 in birth after birth after birth after birth, they are born with the same inclinations, And because they only accumulate same inclinations because they do only such karma. See, whatever karma you do, you accumulate those vasanas. And whatever vasanas you do, the same vasanas will come back again in the form of actions. The actions outside are determined by the vasanas you have. And the vasanas you accumulate are determined by the karma you do. So there's no way of getting yourself cleansed. Continuously, they remain in this adharmic nature. They remain with the adharmic nature, asuric nature. Therefore, there's no way of coming out of it, the vicious cycle. And such people will never become qualified for discovering the truth. They'll be very extroverted people. Such people, mama, prapya eva, not being able to discover Bhagavan, and they adhamam gatim yanti. Adhamam gatim means really they go to the lowest gati. They attain the lowest gati. Attain the lowest gati means suppose if a person assumes an animal body, then he will not even be able to get free will. As an animal, one will lose that free will. And losing the free will, okay, losing the free will is the worst gati. If you're born a human being, you are blessed with the free will. If you're not eligible to attain the human body, and you end up attaining any other animal body, then you will lose the free will. And losing the free will is said to be nashaha. You know, the worst, there's no real destruction on the part of a human being other than losing the eligibility to be born a human being again. Okay, and who can lose the eligibility to be born a human being again? The person who does only wrong actions, accumulate wrong vasanas, asurika vasanas, again. Express those asuric vasanas in the form of wrong actions. Then what happens? Then he cannot be a human being. And he is a human being in the form of an animal. He is an animal in the form of a human being. Therefore, such a person, then finally he deserves only animal body. Then Bhagavan will grab his free will. And the losing the free will is the worst. Okay, that is what is said to be attaining the lowest. Attaining the lowest condition. That is the real downfall. That is the real tragedy. Therefore, what should we want to do? Bhagavan here is not frightening us. Bhagavan is warning us, saying, better take care of your activities. Make the best use of your free will and see your actions are in conformity with dharma so that you can develop at least good vasanas. That will take care of, that will contribute for your upliftment, not for downfall. Okay. So Bhagavan says, Trividham narakasyedam dwaram nashanam atmanaha. Trividham narakasyedam dwaram nashanam atmanaha. Trividham narakasyedam dwaram nashanam atmanaha. Kamah krodhastatha lobhaha tasmadetatrayam tyajet. Kamah krodhastatha lobhaha tasmadetatrayam tyajet. Trividham narakasyedam dwaram nashanam atmanaha. Trividham narakasyedam dwaram nashanam atmanaha. Kamah krodhastatha lobhaha. Kamah krodhastatha lobhaha tasmadetatrayam tyajet. So Bhagavan says, now, therefore, you know, I remember somebody used to use example. If you pour water once, when the water flows, what happens? Slowly it will create a small drench. The more water, then the more water can go, isn't it? When you first you pour the water on the soil, it will create a small, small trench like. Then the more water can go. Exactly like that. Whatever karma you do, definitely if your actions are in conformity with dharma, then inclination for the vasanas you develop in your mind also will be for more of righteous actions. Even if you allow once or twice to do wrong karma also, unknowingly, at least you must know, you must stop it, isn't it? If a person has only wrong actions, the inclinations, the vasanas a person develop in the mind also will be only wrong vasanas. And the vasanas alone become again, get expressed in the form of one's behavior again. Therefore, one must take care of it, for which one must make use of the willpower. So whenever a person is completely driven by his activities in keeping with one's vasanas, and if then the person does not use the willpower, and he'll become the abuser of his willpower. So there's no way of getting out of that vicious cycle of being continuously in the wombs of people of asuric nature. Therefore, Bhagavan says here, he wants to explain. Idam, okay, narakasya idam trividam nasham, trividam dwaram. Atmanaha nashanam. Idam trividam dwaram narakasya. Idam trividam dwaram narakasya. He says, this is the trividam dwaram. This is the threefold gate, threefold entrance. Trividam, threefold, dwaram entrance. This is the threefold entrance, threefold gateway to what? Narakasya, to hell. Threefold gateway to hell. Narakasya idam trividam dwaram. And not only that, this which serves as a threefold entrance, threefold gateway to hell, also, atmanaha nashanam also contributes for the destruction of one's own self. Atmanaha nashanam. It contributes for the destruction of one's own self. What is that which forms the threefold entrance, a threefold gateway to hell? What is it one contributes for one's, the destruction of one's own self? Atmanaha nashanam kim, narakasya trividham dwaram kim. What is that? Kamaha, krodaha, tatha, lobaha. These three. Kamaha, desire, krodaha, anger, lobaha, greed. Please, I tell you, Shastram does not tell us not to have desire, not to have anger, not to have greed. Shastram does not teach us, okay, cannot teach anything against our nature. It is very natural to have desires, to have anger, to have greed. Very natural. Nothing wrong in having a desire, anger, and greed. Only if they are not handled, if they are not managed well, then it is a problem. See, having a desire is a blessing in disguise. Even anger is a natural phenomenon. Greed is a natural phenomenon. We are not created of those three. We cannot undo them. But they definitely, those three, unmanaged, desire, anger, and greed, if they are not managed carefully, attentively, and definitely they will form threefold gateway to hell. and they will contribute for the destruction of one's own self. Kamaha, krodaha, tatha, lobaha. Etat trayam means what? This set of three factors. Etat, this, trayam, a set of three factors in terms of desire, anger and greed. Kamaha, krodaha, tatha, lobaha. Etat trayam, kamaha, krodaha, lobaha. Idam narakasya trividam dwaram. Naraka means hell. Idam narakasya trividam dwaram. These three form threefold gateway to hell. Atmanaha nashanam. This becomes the cause of one's own destruction. Tasmat, therefore, Arjuna, etat trayam tyajet. One should give up these three. When Bhagavan says etat trayam tyajet, one should give up three, means what Bhagavan says is one must get these three resolved for good ultimately. But until one gets resolved, these three things resolved for good, one must manage these three. Giving up means what? One should give up these three means one must manage these three. One must handle these three. And finally, by attaining jnanam, one must get them resolved for good also. Is the literal meaning. Okay, tasmat, therefore, etat trayam tyajet. One should give up these three. Is the literal meaning of the verse. So, kamaha, krodaha, lobaha. Desire, anger and greed from the threefold gateway to hell. This is the cause of one's own, the destruction of one's own self. Therefore, one should give up these three. So, Bhagavan now reduces all the Asuri Sampat. The entirety of the Asuri Sampat means what? The demonic nature. All those many, many things which constitute, which form the demonic nature, are reduced to three factors. That is, desire, anger and greed. If these three are taken care of, one can completely free oneself from being a person of demonic nature. So how you can manage them? That is why from the beginning Shastram always teaches live a life of karma yoga. Live a life of karma yoga. If a person does not live a life of karma yoga and if he is not conscious of living a life of dharma, if he does not make the best use of his willpower and there is no way of managing desire, anger and greed. See, Atmanaha Nashram, when Bhagavan says, not taking care of these three factors will prevent the person from having any spiritual progress. Not only it will prevent a person from having any spiritual progress, it will destroy the person spiritually. Destroying the person spiritually means what? It will prevent the person from attaining moksha, discovering his peace of mind, discovering his swarupam of happiness. See, consciousness is not destructible at all. It's absolutely indestructible. It will contribute. These three will contribute for the destruction of the self means what? Self-destruction means it will prevent a person from attaining the knowledge. It will become a big obstacle for a person to attain spiritual knowledge, wisdom and thereby to attain moksha also. So one cannot attain moksha, one cannot attain jnanam. Therefore, they're said to be Atmanaha Nashanam. And Narakasya Trividha means what? Naraka means, you know, Narakam means being afflicted by samsara. The problems of samsara is being in hell. We need not go to hell, okay? We don't know what hell is. But being afflicted by the problems of samsara, it's also is what? Being afflicted by problems of samsara is also going through hell. So desires are twofold, likes and dislikes. Of course, then anger, the desire fulfilled will contribute for a greed. The desire unfulfilled will become anger. In fact, if a person does not have that nature of sharing what one possesses, okay, this disinterest in sharing itself is a sort of tendency, which is stinginess or miserliness, is greed, is also greed. Not only wanting to have more, not only wanting to have more is greed. Even a person does not have any, person is not inclined to share what one has, what one possesses. And this nature of the tendency of not wanting to share anything one owns, one's possessions, also is greed, lobha. Therefore, Bhagavan says, this also contributes for later on going through the miserable life of samsara. So Bhagavan says, better you take care of them. Etatrayam tyajet. One must take care. How can one take care? One must see what types of desires one entertains. So entertaining desires is very natural. But what types of desires we entertain? The quality of desires we entertain must be taken care of. Because we cannot undo the desires. Okay? Undoing desire is impossible. Because desire is a product of ignorance. As long as ignorance is there, so long will there be desire. It is, we cannot swim against the current. It is foolish to swim against the current. It is highly foolish to swim against the current. So we can undo the desires, but we must manage the desires. We can manage only if we can take care of the quality of desires we entertain. We must take care. So any desire can arise, but I must take care of it. Means what? How can I take care of it? So I cannot give up the desires. Therefore, the word etat tyajet means one must give up those three means. Giving up implies taking care of one's mental refinement. Giving up desires implies taking care of one's emotional maturity, taking care of one's mental refinement. Or giving up those three implies taking care of the quality of the desires one entertains. How can we take care of the quality of the desires I entertain? Or if we change our tamasic nature into, first of all, our behavior involving predominance of tamas should be changed into the rajasic behavior, which means if our activities are tamasic activities, the tamasic activities means even tamasic desires desires which are predominantly of tamasic nature. Desires of which are expressions of predominance of tamasic nature. I'll repeat again. Desires which are expressions of predominance of tamasic nature should be converted into desires which are expressions of predominance of rajasic nature. Is what said to, it is known as converting the tamasic desires into rajasic desires. How can I convert my tamasic desires into rajasic desires? I do not want to do anything is a tamasic desire. Okay. I do not want to do anything. I do not want to earn. I do not want to do this. This is also desire, you know. Not wanting to do is also desire. I want to sleep for long. I don't want to get up early in the morning. I don't want to, you know, brush before I eat. All tamasic desires. So, not only that, even wanting to do anything against dharma is also tamasic desire. Okay. Wanting to fulfill one's desire through wrong means. Wanting to fulfill one's desire through wrong means is also tamasic desire. Any desire which makes a person go against dharma, which impels a person to get it fulfilled through wrong means by transgressing the values, is a tamasic desire. All wrong actions, desires impelling wrong actions, desires impelling improper actions, desires impelling actions which are against the universal values, illegal, okay, desires are all what we can say tamasic desires. So if a desire impels a person to be immoral, to be illegal, okay, to go against dharma, then that desire is what? Tamasic desire. And fulfilling such desires also will contribute for others' pain, others' suffering. Fulfillment of wrong actions, wrong desires, fulfillment of wrong desires by going through wrong means, by against dharma, which are improper, immoral actions, illegal actions, will contribute for others' pain and suffering also. And such actions and such desires which impel a person to go against dharma definitely will make the person's spiritual progress stagnant. Not only to make a person's spiritual progress stagnant, it will make a person's spiritual progress, in fact, it will pull him down. It will pull him down. Therefore, what Bhagavan says, one has to convert one's tamasic desires into rajasic desires. So looting, killing, cheating, betraying, harming, hurting, all those are associated with tamasic desires. So, if it is completely, suddenly to give up all those tamasic desires is very difficult. One cannot convert one's tamasic desires into sattvic desires also overnight. Okay, you cannot leap. When you are walking up on a staircase, you must go step by step. Don't ever try to leap from the first step to the last step and leaving many steps in between. You'll fall down, you'll break. will have a fracture. It will contribute for not any progress. Therefore, always when you're climbing on stairs, you go step by step. Now, naturally, we are with tamasic desires, but we have to convert our tamasic desires into sattvic desires. But first, you let better convert tamasic desires into rajasic desires. Thereby, you can step by step, you can convert those rajasic desires also into sattvic desires. So, big leap is not right. Therefore, now the question comes, okay, now we understood what is tamasic desires. What is that rajasic desires? What is a rajasic desire? Rajasaha kamaha kaha. The question comes. Now we have to understand in the same way. There are desires, natural desires, and which are proper desires. The proper desires are the dharmic desires. The dharmic desires are the desires which impel a person to do the right action. Dharmic desire is a desire which makes a person do the action in conformity with dharma. Okay. The desire which makes a person fulfill the desire through righteous means. The desire which impels a person to do the right action without going against dharma through righteous means, if it is fulfilled, that becomes a righteous desire, dharmic desire. And such desires, the proper desires which do not impel a person to go against dharma or righteous dharmic desires, I mean, legitimate desires. Suppose a person wants to study well, wants to get married. Not illegitimate desire, right desire. I want to have children. I want to have family. I want to earn money. I want to have a house. I want to get a car. I want to live properly. They're all dharmic, legitimate desires. But as long as the person fulfills those desires in conformity with dharma, they are legitimate desires and dharmic desires. But still, these desires are all for only arthakamas. See, when desire is for arthakama, and if a person uses the wrong means to fulfill those desires for arthakamas, it becomes a tamasam karma, tamasic desire. And the same desires for arthakamas, but if a person fulfills them in conformity with dharma, they become rajasic desires. Same desires. Desire for wealth, desire for position, desire for, you know, assets, desire for enjoyment of pleasures, not legitimate desires, nothing wrong. If those desires, if a person fulfills through righteous means, the person wants to fulfill those desires through righteous means, they are rajasic desires. If a person wants to fulfill those desires going against dharma, they become tamasic desires. Of course, desires are all for material ends. Therefore, desires pertaining to the material ends, arthakamas, are legitimate desires. Nothing wrong. I want have any desire for having any material end, any material thing in the world is not wrong. It's legitimate desire. But as long as you fulfill those desires in the righteous means, in conformity with dharma, without disturbing the order, without harming others' happiness, it is a righteous desire, dharmic desire. And fulfillment of those desires definitely will contribute for one's better enjoyment of life also. Of course, you must have desire to earn money, desire to enjoy pleasures, nothing wrong. So those desires for the accomplishment of arthakamas through righteous means becomes rajasic desires. The same desires are fulfilled by going against dharma, it becomes tamasic desires. Then one more thing I tell you. If a person has desires, and if he fulfills those desires in conformity with dharma, it becomes rajasic desire. But still, this person does not have purusharthan ischaya. If a person has purusharthan ischaya and having moksha as the ultimate goal, jnanam as the ultimate goal, and still he only for the sake of living this life, if he wants to pursue arthakamas in conformity with dharma, then even his actions become what? Even sattvic actions. I want arthakamas for living this life. So I pursue arthakama in conformity with dharma, ultimately for jnanam. If with this understanding a person fulfills his desires in conformity with dharma for mental preparation, then becomes even sattvikam, sattvikaha desire, sattvikaha kamaha. Therefore, even though a person fulfills his desires in conformity with dharma only for artha kamas, then his actions are rajasic. His desires are rajas kamaha, rajasic desires. So what Bhagavan says, first one must convert one's tamasic desires into rajasic desires. Which means whatever we want to pursue, nothing wrong, arthakamas, pursue them in conformity with dharma, thereby your desires become converted into rajasic desires. So rajasic desire is far better than tamasic desires. So you can accumulate any amount of wealth, artha, enjoy any amount of pleasures, no problem. In conformity with dharma, you do, that is rajasic desire. Then Bhagavan says, if you want to give them up, the rajasic desire must be converted into sattvikaha, sattvic desire. One must convert one's rajasic desire into a sattvic desire. Rajasaha kamaha must be converted into sattvikaha kamaha. So tamasaha kamaha must be converted into rajasaha kamaha. And rajasaha kamaha must be converted into sattvikaha kamaha. See, people of all kamas, okay, tamasaha kamaha, rajasaha kamaha, sattvikaha kamaha means what? All desires, all of them have desires for artha kamas. So people of sattvic desires, people of rajasic desires, people of tamasic desires. All of them have desires. But the difference is what? The person who has desire for arthakamas. So people of tamasic desire, people of rajasic desires, people of sattvic desires, all of them have desires for arthakamas. Please understand. All of them have desires for arthakamas. No human being can be in this world without having any desire for arthakamas. So people of sattvic desires also have desire for arthakamas. People of rajasic desires also have desire for arthakamas. People of tamasic desires also have desire for arthakamas. Only thing is, the people of tamasic desires, they pursue arthakama going against dharma. Therefore, the desires are tamasic desires. And the people of rajasic desires pursue arthakama in conformity with dharma. But they do not have desire for jnanam and moksha. Whereas people of sattvic desires are the people for whom ultimate goals are jnanam and moksha. Therefore, this ultimate desire is for jnanam and moksha. Ultimate desire is for mental preparation. Therefore, having arthaka, they pursue arthakamas only for living this life as relative ends. Whose desires for arthakamas are only for living this life as relative ends, and thereby who pursue arthakamas in conformity with dharma to prepare their mind ultimately for jnanam and moksha, and those, they are people of sattvic desires. So people of sattvic desires do pursue arthakamas for living this life in conformity with dharma, but not having arthakamas as the ultimate goals, but having jnanam and moksha as the ultimate goals. So what is the ultimate goal that differentiates people here? If a person having all desires for arthakamas, having a jnanam and moksha as the ultimate goal, if a person lives his life, all his desires become fulfilled only in conformity with dharma, and he pursues arthakamas in conformity with dharma only for living this life. Ultimately, his goal is jnanam and moksha, and he is said to be a person of sattvic desires. So without having purushartha nischaya, if a person wants arthakamas only as the ultimate goal, but he pursues arthakamas in conformity with dharma, his desires are rajasic desires. A person only wants arthakamas, and he doesn't care for dharma at all. He goes against dharma, and his desires are tamasic desires. So Bhagavan says one has to convert. This is the only way, okay, one can handle these desires. Otherwise, these unmanaged desires, if a person does not convert one's tamasic desires into rajasic desires, then desire will become what? Desire will contribute for anger, and anger and greed, and these three will become entrances to go to hell. And these desires will completely prevent a person from attaining any level of spiritual progress. There will not be any spiritual progress at all on the part of this person. Anyway, all desires impel a person to do karma. And of course, all karmas also will be what? Binding karma. So only sattvic desire impels a person to do sattvic karma. Sattvic action. Sattvic desire contributes for sattvic karma, sattvic action. Then it becomes a non-binding desire. Okay? A sattvic desire is a non-binding desire. Even a rajasic desire is a binding desire. Tamasic desire, of course, will retain a person continuously in bondage. Tamasic desire. So sattvic desire is said to be a non-binding desire because gradually, slowly it will contribute for his spiritual progress. It will enable a person attain jnanam. It will enable a person attain moksha. Therefore, it is a non-binding desire. Gradually. If a person's desire gradually becomes a non-binding desire, then a non-binding desire is no more a desire. You know, a non-binding sattvic desire is as good as non-desire. Okay, a non-binding desire, sattvic desire, is as good as a non-desire. For let me tell you, suppose I want to attain moksha. This is a non-binding desire. It's a highly dharmic desire. I want to attain jnanam. I want to discover Bhagavan. I want to understand what Bhagavan is. I want to live a life of dharma. Desire for living a life of dharma is a dharmic desire. Such a desire is not even is as good as non-desire. Suppose if such desires were not there, how is it possible for us to have got the best commentaries? Okay, many acharyas have done commentaries, like Shankaracharya. And they all must have had a desire to write commentary on these books to help people to understand the teaching. So desire to teach, to teach correctly, okay? And desire to learn Shastram is a non-desire. Desire to learn, understand the Shastram is a non-desire. Desire to understand Bhagavan is a non-desire. Absolutely non-binding desires. It's not enough we have desires. We must see that those desires get fulfilled also. I want to definitely live a life of dharma. These are absolutely non-binding, non-desire. So sattvic desires are as good as non-desires. Therefore, definitely one must take care of one's anger and desire. The desire and anger. Because desire unfulfilled alone becomes anger. If a person takes care of desires, naturally anger also becomes taken care of. Of course, greed will be taken care of. Now you know what are those three types of desires, how one must convert tamasic desire into rajasic desires, thereby how to convert it into sattvic desire, thereby making a desire a non-desire. This is what Bhagavan says, one must give up. Those three. Next verse. Etair vimuktah Kaunteya tamodvaraistribharnarah etair vimuktah Kaunteya tamodvaraistribharnarah etair vimuktah Kaunteya tamodvaraistribharnarah acharatyatmanashreyah acharatyatmanashreyah Tato yati param gatim. Yetair vimuktah kaunteya. Tamodvarais tribharnarah. Acharatyatmanashreyah. Tato yati param gatim. So here Bhagavan says, Hey Kaunteya, Arjuna, Yetaihi Vimuktaha. Vimuktaha means one who is liberated, one who is free, freed, liberated. Freed from what? From these three, Tribihi, Yetaihi Tribihi. The person who is free from these three, Tamodvarehi Tribihi. Tamodvarehi means what? Tamaha implies here gate, the hell only. Etair vimukta kaunteya tamodvarais tribharnat naraha. The person who is free from these three factors, desire, anger, and greed, known as gates, entrances of hell, entrances to hell, that person, tamodvarehi, tribihi, naraha, atmanaha shreyaha acharati, naraha acharati, that person, acharati literally means follows, but here you should take it as pursues. The person being free from these three factors, the gates of entrances to hell, the naraha acharati, the person pursues, human being who pursues, shreyaha, atmanaha shreyaha. Atmanaha shreyaha means, shreyas here should be taken as good. Atmanaha shreyaha means, that which is good for one's own self. The person who pursues what is good for one's own self, that person, tataha param gatim yati, he attains the absolute goal, mokshaha jnanam. So, taking care of these three factors, desired, anger and greed, freeing oneself from this. Freeing oneself means how can you free yourself? If you convert gradually your rajasic desires into tamas, sattvic desires, then desires become non-binding desires. Non-binding desires are just as good as non-desires. Then your anger and greed also become, of course, managed very well. Then you are free from those desires relatively. Okay. So freeing oneself relatively from these three, means having relative mastery over these three, which simply being committed to live a life of dharma, having jnanam and moksha as the ultimate goals. Okay. You're totally committed to dharma, having artha kamas as the, having moksha and jnanam as the ultimate goal. So you're totally committed to dharma, having moksha and jnanam as the ultimate goal, and whatever karma, whatever desires you have, they're all those desires, you're free. You're relatively free from the hold of those three. Desire, anger and greed. As a person, freeing oneself, okay, the person who's freed from these three factors, and then your person pursues whatever is good for himself. Naraha shreyaha, atmanaha shreyaha, naraha acharati. So being free from these three, if a person pursues whatever is good for oneself, Naraha Atmanaha Shreyaha Acharati. A person pursues whatever is good for oneself, and Tataha Param Gatim Yati, thereby that person definitely attains the absolute goal. Param Gatim Yati. Definitely the person attains the absolute goal in terms of jnanam, and which itself is mokshaha. It is a very nice verse, you know. Make your desires non-binding desires. Thereby, make your desires non-desires. You have desires, but still they are non-desires. Then you are free from the three. Because your anger also becomes what? Tamasic anger, because it becomes convert into rajasic anger. There's no sattvic anger. Okay. Sattvic anger means what? If you're not able to study shastrasana anger. And that anger also becomes a non-binding anger. I'm not able to live a life of dharma. Oh my God, this person doesn't allow me to live a life of dharma. Then you get angry. There is a sattvic anger. So, when you convert, thereby what happens? You're free. It is very simple. Okay. Having sattvic desires is having non-bending desires. Having non-bending desires is having non-desires, which are as good as non-desires. It's not desirelessness. Okay. Having non-desires is not non-desirelessness. They're as good as non-desires. Achyapur is said to be relatively, he has mastery over desires, anger and greed. Achyapur is said to be free from these three, desire, anger and greed. Okay, he is said to be the entrances to hell. And what does that person do? Definitely the person is conscious of dharma. Therefore, whatever he does, only what is spiritually good for himself, good for one's own self. Therefore, Naraha Shreyaha Atmanaha Shreyaha Acharati. So, freeing oneself from the hold of these three, the person pursues whatever is good for himself, good for oneself. With the commitment to moksha and jnanam, as having moksha and jnanam as the ultimate goals, in conformity with dharma, then how can that person be deprived of attaining the absolute goal? That person definitely attains jnanam. He will attain the absolute end jnanam in terms of moksha. Okay. This is what Bhagavan says. This is what is said to be converting demonic nature into divine wealth of divine nature. Okay. This is what is said to be converting the demonic disposition into the wealth of divine nature. So there's no human being who is absolutely free from desires. Jnani also has desires, but Jnani's desires are non-binding because he's free from the notion that I have a desire. Therefore, the desires are very natural for everyone. See, person of sattvic, the person of Daivi Sampat also will have desires. So only what converts a person into a free person is having moksha as the ultimate goal, with a commitment to the pursuit of jnanam, with the intention of preparing his mind for the attainment of jnanam, if a person pursues artha kamas in conformity with dharma, all his desires become sattvic desires. And as a person is relatively free from the hold of these desires and other factors associated with the desires, a person and does consciously whatever is good for himself, definitely, gradually, he will attain, doubtlessly, the absolute end of jnanam and moksha. Okay, this is the teaching. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti.